22, please. Luke chapter 22. We're coming back to Peter this morning, but I realize this is the final Sunday of 2017. So in a way, we'll be looking back. We'll be looking in and we'll be looking forward as we consider where Peter is in his life. And maybe this is where you are this morning. I remember a number of years ago preaching on My Times Are in Thy Hand at a season of the year like this. And some other great text, Ronnie has quoted another one there this morning, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And it's great to come at the end of a year or the beginning of a year and bring some of these great texts. And that's probably what I would have wanted to do, but I felt this is where the Lord wanted me to be this morning. Luke chapter 22, and we'll see as we develop the message, God willing, this morning. I trust the Lord has a word for someone here in Riff Island today. Luke 22 and verse 54. And this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall or the courtyard, and were sat down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him and said, This man was also with him. And he, that is Peter, denied him, saying, Woman, I know him not. After a little while another saw him and said, Thou art one of also of them. And Peter says, Man, I am not. And about the space of one or another confidently affirmed, saying, Of a truth this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. We'll end at verse 62 and look into the Lord to bless the reading of his own precious, infallible, inerrant, and inspired word. When we were at school, there used to be a saying, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt. But you know, that's not true. Names can hurt. And sometimes names stick, particularly nicknames. When we come into the Word of God, when we think of Judas, forever he'll be known as Judas the Betrayer. And rightly so. But even among some of God's children, when we think of Thomas, it's always doubting Thomas. And no matter what Thomas seems to do, he never is able to shake off that label, doubting Thomas. When we come to Peter, Peter will always be known as the one that denied the Lord. And even though Peter has written some great epistles, Peter has been one of the greatest evangelists the world has ever seen. Peter has been a man greatly used of God. And in spite of all the great things, people still reflect on Peter the denier. And I want to look at Peter's denying here this morning. Difficult to believe that the one who said, and we looked at these a number of weeks ago, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What a statement for Peter to make. Such was the statement that the Lord himself said that His Father in heaven must have revealed it to him. Peter must have been spending time with the Lord. He was close with the Lord. And the Lord had revealed this wonderful truth that Jesus Christ truly was the Son of the living God. And he was the Christ. He was the Messiah. The one who said that is now saying, Woman, I know him not. Woman, I know him not. As we come to the end of another year, I wonder, are you a denier this morning? I wonder, does your life deny that you belong to Jesus Christ? Not even what we say, but how our life is lived before the world. Does our life deny that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ? I wonder were there some here the first Sunday of 2017 and you were going on well with the Lord, you were rejoicing in the Lord, and people could see and know that you're one of the Lord's disciples, a follower of Christ, but it's maybe a wee bit different the last Sunday of 2017. I want, first of all, to have a wee look back this morning. Because that's what I'm going to do with Peter. I'm going to look at the early indications. One thing I don't like is getting a flat wheel. Unless Marcel is there to change it, I'm beat. And I'm pretty hopeless when it comes to anything to do with tools or anything where you get your hands dirty. I'm not your man, I'm afraid. But I've never had a blowout before. Don't know why you've had one. Sometimes lorry drivers have them and they are frightening things. And if you're driving along and all of a sudden, bang, and the tire's gone. But that doesn't really happen that often. Normally it's a slow puncture. Normally in the Christian life, it's not a blowout. It's a slow puncture. Little by little by little, you've got away from the Lord. Until you get to that stage where you're just flat, dead flat. And there's hardly any evidence there at all that you once belonged and once loved and once served the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to do with Peter. Remember what Paul said, wherefore, doesn't matter who you are this morning, let him or her that thinketh he or she standeth take heed, lest they fall. Doesn't matter who you are this morning, you could have a slow puncture, spiritually speaking, and just leaking and leaking and leaking. And maybe you're even beyond that this morning, you're flat. Let's have a look back. As we look back over 2017, that's what normally people do at this time of the year. Let's look back at Peter's life, because Peter didn't suffer from a blowout. I believe Peter's falling away was gradual. I love to preach on the lost axe head. You'll remember the man who borrowed the axe head and he was cutting away and he didn't realize that the axe head come off and went into the water and he lost the axe head. And I have a picture in my mind that it got a bit slack. The axe head was a bit slack, but he worked away and got a wee bit slacker and he thought, it's all right yet, it's all right yet. And he worked away and it got slacker and slacker until, plump, it went into the water. And then it was too late. I wonder, has your life been on a downward pathway, spiritually speaking? Like the axe head, like the slow puncture. Things are happening and they're happening slowly, but they're going in a certain direction. And I want to encourage you this morning at the end of the year to stop it now. And to have that revaluation of your spiritual life. And to take that step in the right direction again as we look back. Now let's think about Peter. I believe there were some telltale signs. One of the telltale signs was pride. Some of these verses we've looked at before. In Matthew 26 verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before unto you in Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, here's Peter. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. In Luke's account, Luke 22, he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both unto prison and to death. Peter says, not me. He was filled with pride. Peter thought he was invincible. Peter was filled with self-confidence, self-belief. This is what we're told today. If you want to get on in the world, you need self-confidence. You need self-belief. That's not what Paul believed. Paul says, have no confidence in the flesh. That to start with pride, you felt invincible. You see, pride in Peter's life. Let me say something about passages, the Word of God. You remember again, and we've looked at some of these, but they're well-known passages. In John chapter 13, Peter said unto the Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Do you know what Peter's doing here? He's arguing with the Word of God. The Lord says, I'm going to wash your feet. Peter says, no, you're not. He was arguing against the Word of God. I've said it many times on Wednesday night and probably from this pulpit as well. When you're arguing against the Word of God, when you're arguing against God, you're on the losing side. Same thing happened in Matthew 16. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised again the third day. Peter took him aside, began to rebuke him, and said, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He's contradicting the Word of God. Peter was arguing against the Word of God. Peter was contradicting the Word of God. And Peter wasn't listening to the Word of God. The Lord said in Matthew 26, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And so Peter is arguing against the Word of God. He's contradicting the Word of God. He's not listening to the Word of God. Started with pride, then there were some passages. Has God been speaking to you? Has God been directing you? Has God been challenging you? And the Lord wants to make things better for you. The Lord wants to bless you. But you're fighting against God. Just like Peter, you can see some of the telltale signs. God's maybe spoke to you sometime during this year and you thought, no, this is not for me, Lord. This can't be right. And since that, the voice of the Lord seems to be silent. Because unless there's obedience, you can't expect God to keep on speaking until he gets you beyond that point where you are. You see the pride, you see the passages. And then there was some pointing. I've already read this. Do you remember what Peter said? Though all men, Peter looks at everybody else and says, though all men shall be offended because of thee. The Lord had said, you're all going to be offended. And Peter says, you're right about everybody else. But you're not right about me. Do you ever find yourself sitting in a meeting and thinking, boy, that was a good word for him this morning. That was the word that she needed to hear. Do you ever find yourself pointing at other people? Because Peter was pointing at other people and said, yes, Lord, they need to be warned because you couldn't depend on them, but not me. Have you been pointing at other people and missing the real point of the message? You see the pride, you see the passages, you see the pointing, some telltale signs of Peter heading in the wrong direction. You see the slow puncture? And then it came come to praying. Again, many of you will be aware of this in the Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26, verse 36. Then cometh Peter with them into a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that's James and John, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And then we read in verse 40, he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep. And said unto Peter, he singles out Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And you'll know how this goes on. A couple of times the Lord comes back and he finds Peter sleeping instead of praying. Instead of watching Peter sleeping. And I always concentrate on the praying, and I will in a moment, but you see, watching's important too. And the tense of the Greek is this, be continually watching and be continually praying. And when it comes to watching, we need to be vigilant. Have you taken your eye off the ball? Have you been careless? Paul talks in Ephesians about walking circumspectly. What does that word mean? It's better illustrated possibly. And I remember going through Ephesians in the Bible class and one of the commentators likens it to a cat walking across the top of a wall and there's broken glass in the wall. And as the cat walks across the wall, he watches every step because he doesn't want to put his, is it a paw they have or a foot? I don't know. They don't want to step in the glass. And this is how we as believers, we need to watch and take our steps carefully. Have you been careless? But then what about prayer? Have you stopped praying? And I mean stopped praying. There was a time it was little, but now it's nothing. Because when you give up on prayer, you're indicating again that this slow puncture is stepping up a gear. And you can nearly hear the hiss of it now. Because the prayer times have become no times as far as you're concerned. And these are the early indications of the spiritual condition. I want you to look back. Over 2017. Has this been your life? Is this a mirror of you this morning? Perhaps not an identical picture. But maybe you started off up here somewhere. When we come to the final Sunday of this year, you're down here somewhere. See the early indications as we look back. You see the plan. Again, we looked at this previously. You remember this account in John 18. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Here was Peter's plan for getting Christ on the throne. He took out the sword and he chopped the ear of the high priest's servant. In other words, he acted in the flesh. Not in the spirit. You see, this old nature is still here. Thank God we're born again. We have a new nature. But see, the old man's still there. And if you keep feeding the old man gets stronger than the new man. And the flesh comes to the fore. And rather than walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, acting in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit, we're filled with the flesh. And we behave in a fleshly manner, just like Peter. Is the Lord getting close to someone this morning? Has there been pride? Lord, I know others are in danger, but I'll never fall. Has there been passages? Have you been not listening to the word, disobeying the word, ignoring the word, even arguing against the word? Has there been pointing? Yes, I can see problems with everyone else this morning, but not me. Has your prayer life become non-existent? Had you your own plan that wasn't God's plan and it involved the flesh? And then we see the place, if you're still in Luke 22, look at verse 55. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, I'm told that the high priest's house was like a rectangle, and in the midst of the rectangle was a courtyard, sometimes called a hall. And it was in this courtyard someone had lit a little fire. And here's Peter, and he comes to this place, and he comes to this little fire in the courtyard. What a stupid place for him to be. In that home, Christ was being interrogated. Christ was being judged. He was being dragged through these mock trials. And here's Peter, one of his disciples. And there he is standing in the courtyard. What a stupid place for him to be in. What a stupid place sometimes we find some of God's people in. Think you can go to the pub with other young people and not take a drink? And not be contaminated? You think you can go to the world's courtyards and perhaps not end up in a worldly courtship? Find yourself heading away from the Lord. Have you been in the wrong place? Yes, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And yes, sometimes the Lord tests us, and the Lord wants to see what we're made of. But listen, are you so stupid that you're taking yourself into a place of temptation? Peter's in the wrong place. Have you been in the wrong places? Is that where it started? Going in once will do no harm. Surely once will be okay, and then it became twice, and then it became a habit, and now it's a lifestyle. And you long for the weekend. And you long for it now. See the early indications? See the slow puncture, pride, the passages, the pointing, the prayer, the plan, the place? You know, as I think of this little fire, and forgive me for making applications here this morning, but you know, Peter must have been cold. And here's a fire. Here's the answer to his coldness. And he goes to the fire. He's more concerned with the physical than the spiritual. Has that marked your life? More concerned about the physical than the spiritual. Paul says one of the marks of the last days is men will be lovers of pleasure more than or rather than lovers of God. Has your sporting interest increased throughout the year? Has your hobbies increased throughout the year? Is your education increased throughout the year? Has your employment increased? Are you busier? Are you earning more money? Is your home vastly improved? And when you look at your life, everything is so much better. Everything in the physical, in the material realm is on the up, but the spiritual is on the way down. And because one is up doesn't necessarily mean the other has to go down, because for some people, that's okay. They can handle this. But maybe not for you. When your spiritual life has went down the drain. Because so much has went into the physical and so much into the material. I believe there's another little picture here as Peter comes to the fire. I think there was a coldness spiritually as well. Have you grown cold? Have you lost that love for God's people? Love for God's word, love for the Savior. Have you lost that love for the Lord this morning? It's cold this morning. You used to be the first one And now you're not even the last one. You just don't bother.
You're cold this morning.
Heartless this morning. Look at his position. You see it in verse 54. It says that Peter followed him afar off. Matthew 26 and Luke 22, verse 54. You're not as close as you used to be. Turn back the clock 12 months and you know where you were. Spiritually speaking, what was your walk like? Were you close to the Lord? And then the slow puncture set in. And it's got worse. And now you're following him, but it's afar off. And there's a distance. Gospel service usually is one of the first things to go. Prayer meeting goes. Your own devotional time goes. Sunday morning becomes habitual as well. Then it could turn out to be an annual visit. Just for nostalgic reasons. See the early indications as we take a look back this morning. Some then find themselves being drawn to the world's fire. Some drawn to strange fire. Something that's not built in the Word of God. You see the early indications? Then let me say something about the evil inclinations as we look at Peter and see where Peter is now. Look at verse 55 and Luke 22. And when they had kindled the fire in the midst of the hall and were sat down together, look what it says. Peter sat down among them. See who Peter's keeping company with now. It's not God's people, it's the enemies of Christ. See the craft. Look at verse 56. And I'm talking about the craft of Satan. But a certain maid beheld him. You know, if it had been an army, I think Peter would have been ready for them. Had it been a soldier, Peter would have been prepared, but just a young maid. Innocent looking, possibly an attractive looking young maid. What harm could she do? And as she approaches him, she comes with the statement, this man was also with him. Mark tells us, and a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, this is one of them, just a young maid. And Peter denies the Lord. Has a young maid taken you by surprise? Because the devil knows how to attack you. He knows your weakness. You see the company, you see the craft, you see the charge at the end of verse 56. This man was also with him. John tells it like this, art not thou also one of this man's disciples? Luke puts it like this in Luke 22, verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him. You were with him. You were one of them. Let me give credit where credit's due. At least people knew at one time to look at Peter, he belonged to Christ. Has there been any evidence that you belong to Christ? There was a time when they looked at Peter and they knew Peter was a man of God with the people of God, doing the things of the Lord, but it's different now. And maybe people used to look at you and say, there's a young Christian. There's a young mum. There's a young man. There's an older man. There's somebody who's saved. Yes, they may talk about being born again. They may call you good living, but they knew that you belong to Christ. But there's very little evidence at the moment. You see the charge. He's charged with being a follower of Christ. And then we see the crime. Matthew tells us in his account, I've called this deceitful, first of all. And now Peter sat about within the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou art also with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. In John's account, he denied it and said, I am not. John again records, Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Let me summarize it as we take all the accounts together. Peter says, I don't know him. I wasn't with him. I'm not one of his disciples. I don't know what you're talking about. You can see it in Luke 22, verse 60, I think it is there. Peter lies through his teeth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see the deceitfulness. You see the dishonoring. You wouldn't say it in Luke's account, but this is what Peter says in Matthew's account. He says, I know not the man. In Mark's account, I know not this man. Do you remember what Peter called him in Luke 5? He says, your master. And then at the end of the miracle of the great crutches, he says, your Lord. Now you're just a man. Just like any other man. Is that how we live? Like Jesus Christ is any other man? Do you remember he's omniscient, he's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, he sees everything, he is everywhere, he knows everything. And yet we live as Christians as if he's just an ordinary man. Somehow, and I say it reverently, we think we can bluff the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Christ, when he needed Peter most, he denied the Lord. When Peter's called upon to take his stand, he's nowhere. And he's denying the Lord, pretending not to know him at all. And then it gets worse. In Mark 14, verse 71, it says, he began to curse and to swear, defiling words. Peter sinks to the lowest depths. I hope you're not there this morning. I hope you don't join in when they're taking the Lord's name in vain. I hope there's enough of Christ in you to have reverence for his wonderful name. What about your words this morning? Because we can deny the Lord with our lips and our tongue without cursing. We can deny the Lord with our hands and what we do, with our feet and where we go, with our eyes and what we see, with our tongue and what we say, with our heart and how we love him, with our knees and how we fail to pray, with our ears when we don't listen to him or we listen to something else, and our stomach and what we feed upon. I'm not talking about food, I'm talking about spiritual food, and our head and what occupies our thoughts. Does your mind run wild? Is it filled with impure thoughts? You haven't casting down your imagination and bringing those thoughts into captivity, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 9. You see the evil inclinations, you see the company, the craft, the charge, the crime, and then comes the crowing. We have it in Luke 22, verse 60 to 61. We have it again in Mark's account that talks about the cock crowing. You know, that old cock crowing meant nothing to anyone else, only one man on the planet. That was Peter. And maybe the cock's crowing this morning. And in this congregation this morning, what I'm sharing with you from the Word of God about Peter is irrelevant to 99% of the people, but it matters to you. Because you can hear the cock crowing. You've had a slow puncture. You've had it for some time. Now and again, you give it a little pump up. You maybe try and patch it up, but it's still there. You've never come to the Lord and had that fully repaired. And while the cock is crowing this morning, it's interesting to some people. It's challenging. It may be preventative because we don't know what 2018 will bring. But you can hear the cock crowing this morning because this is just for you. The Lord didn't bring you to Refrain Baptist on the last Sunday of 2017 just to tickle your ears. He's something to say to you this morning. See the early indications. We're nearly finished. You see the eyes inclinations, the evil inclinations. Then we see the eyes intimations. Look at Luke 22 again, verse 60. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. What a look this must have been. Remember this rectangular house. And here's Peter in the courtyard. And the Lord is being abused and tried and tested as he's brought through these mock religious trials. And here's Peter, not realizing that the Lord knew exactly what he was doing. And the Lord looks at Peter. I believe it was a heartbreaking look. I think the Lord's heart was breaking when he saw what Peter had said. I think it was a loving look.
It's like a
father looking at a child who has disappointed him. A child who has let him down a bankful, as we would say. But that little one can still see in the eyes of daddy, in the eyes of mommy, there's somebody that loves me. And no matter what your child does, you love them. It was a love that was a heartbreaking look. It was a loving look. It was a forgiving look. Like when the Lord looked at Peter, he was saying, I know what you've done. I know what you've said. If we could picture the Lord with his face already been punched, he's already been spat upon. He turned around and he looks at Peter. He says, Peter, I know you've let me down. As the Lord comes into this meeting this morning, he says, I know who you are this morning. And he looks at you this morning with a heartbreaking look, with a loving look, with a forgiving look. Such was the power of this look that it was a separating look, because Peter takes himself away from the crowd who didn't love the Lord. I believe it was a restoring look. As Peter goes out, we're told that he wept bitterly in Matthew 26, verse 75. His heart is convicted. And I believe Peter found restoration. It was a heartbreaking look. It was a loving look. It was a forgiving look. A separating look. It was a restoring look. And I know this is a private thing that Peter's gone through. We see a public display of it in John 21 when we get there in the will of the Lord. But you know, there was a requiring look here. I believe the Lord is looking at Peter, but you know, Peter wouldn't have benefited of that if Peter hadn't been looking at the Lord. And here's the key for you this morning. I'm sure there are many parents here who have gone to sports day. And you watch your own little one. And I remember I used to go and see Abigail. And they'd line up and they'd be running around the track in East Belfast. And Abigail should come off to me and she says, Daddy, I think it was second or third. She might have been last, but it didn't matter to me. Do you know this? See, when she was running around the track, I was only watching one person. I had only eyes for one. I never took my eyes off her. And the Lord never takes his eyes off you. You know what he's waiting for this morning? He's waiting for you to turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face and stop that slow puncture this morning. Find forgiveness. Find restoration. You see, the moment Peter caught the eyes of the Savior, see the world's fire and the world's company, I'll tell you, it lost its attraction. And Peter goes out with his heartbreaking, and he weeps bitterly. I believe as we come to the end of 2017, I believe the Lord's looking in your direction this morning. What makes this a wonderful account this morning is we know how it all turns out. You see, when we go to Peter's epistles, you know what the proud Peter said? He said, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you subject to one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud. That's the same Peter. Remember the Peter that didn't watch and pray? Do you know what he says in 1 Peter 4, verse 7? The end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, be vigilant, and watch unto prayer. Remember Peter failed to take his stand for the Lord when he's challenged by a little maid to begin with? Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Do you remember Peter had been careless and the devil took advantage? Peter writes, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Do you remember Peter had a problem with what God was saying through the Lord Jesus Christ? He had a problem with the word of God. Peter writes in 1 Peter 1:25, the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Do you remember Peter was following afar off? Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank God this morning there's restoration to be found with Jesus Christ this morning. I don't care how low you've sunk this morning. I don't care how cold your heart is this morning. You may be near flat this morning, spiritually speaking. If you will only turn your eyes upon Jesus and get a glimpse of the risen Savior this morning and see in the eyes of the Lord how much He loved you, how much He cares about you, and how much He wants you back. What an end it would be to 2017 if you were to turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in His wonderful face. What a difference it'll make. What a channel of blessing you could become. Some in your family not saved. My, if they could see a restored you this morning, what a difference it would make. Do you know what they'll start to see? Real evidence that you're one of them. Real evidence that you've been with Jesus. They'll tell you what an attractive life you'll have. And those without Christ will be drawn to Christ. Let's close in a moment's prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we have taken a look back over Peter's life before he came to this point of denial, Lord, perhaps it's easy to read about it and it's easy even to preach about it. But Lord, for some this morning, it might not have been easy. Because they're just like Peter. When we come to this final Sunday of 2017, Lord, You could write over their lives that their lives deny that they belong to Jesus. Lord, You didn't bring them into the meeting this morning to insult them. You didn't bring them in here this morning to condemn them. Lord, You brought them in here this morning because You want to restore them. Lord, I believe You're looking at someone this morning. Lord, I'm praying that someone will look back and look onto Jesus this morning. May Your word work in hearts this morning, and may someone leave with that determination to truly live for Christ. Not just in 2018, but in what remains of 2017. For it's in and through our Saviour's name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing that